Several years ago now, I had a fidgety young man turn up at my house who was we invited him in, and he was still fidgeting around, walking around my kitchen, into my conservatory, up my hallway, round and round. And I knew why he was there, but it finished with up. He asked if he could marry my daughter. Asking is a very common part of our life, isn't it? It's built on asking. And in this prayer month that we're going through, it's good that we can actually ask things of God. And that is such a privilege to come to him. It's already been mentioned this morning, we can come to him. And we can ask. And but you know, life begins with asking. Paul, have you got the first picky up? We can have a look. Right. Life begins with asking. No words, but a cry. Why? No words. We have to learn words to ask. And the amazing thing is, apart from the real reason, which I'll come to in a minute, the real reason is it's a cry for food. No words, but it's an ask. And I'm echoing here, or echoing around. So it's a cry for food. But it's an ask, isn't it? I want food. And it's a cry. Really, this is a picture of Fred when he was a young boy. He's just asked his mother for peanuts, and she said no. Okay? It's a rare photo, that one, I tell you. Can I have picture number two, Paul? Thank you. Here's another picture of asking. No words, but a pointing. Want something. I mean, we don't know what it is, what this child is pointing to, but it wants something. It has no words, but it points to it. And that's an amazing part of life, isn't it? Because as a child grows up, you know, some people ask with a grunt sometimes. A pig asks with a grunt, did you know that? But there you go. Asking is a part of life. And it's because we need something, we ask sometimes. So in our month of prayer, we have been looking at pause, which Renef has brought to us, some very helpful things to think about. There's really time when we must pause in prayer to God. Then we had rejoice last week, that part of our praying is a celebrating of what God is and who he is and what he can give, his abundance, rejoicing. And the command to rejoice is actually sometimes in situations we don't feel like rejoicing. And so the command is still there to push through and rejoice. So as we think about asking this morning, first point we must really consider is that there's a whole narrative of prayer in the Bible, and within that whole narrative of prayer there are narratives of prayers, the people who pray. But the Bible is taken up with a whole narrative of prayer. Going back to where Steve was last week, he talked about the origin of the word pray being found in the word which we know as precarious. In other words, we're like being in a precarious life, but in all that precariousness of life, we go to one God who is not. He's the rock. He's the foundation. If you're interested in looking at it, if you look into the life of Enoch in the Bible, he is an exact description of what Steve said last week. We don't read a lot about it, but amazingly, in that story in Genesis, but he is the first man that sort of dived into this thing. This world is so precarious that I'm living in. Where can I go? What can I do? He maybe picked up the story of his foreparents who said and told him what it was like when they had communion with God, what it was like. We were happy. We didn't feel precarious. And then we did feel precarious when we weren't in the garden, so insecure, so lost. And not to be able to talk to God like we used to now is so difficult. It seems so far away. And part of that precarious, Enoch was trying to get that back, and he couldn't. And yet, he walked with God. God took him. He took him. God took him. He walked with God. He walked with God, says, I'm a man living in a precarious society, but I'm going to hold on to the one who is the rock for my life and for this situation. And we know that's true because of what the writer says in Hebrews, that Enoch was known for his faith. That means he believed in creation. He believed in the Creator God. And he believed in the Creator God who made things out of nothing. And he trusted in God. He believed in him. And then we have Jude who writes about Enoch. And you read it. It tells you he could see not only the precariousness of his situation, but the future was precarious without someone who could help. Without someone who could help. So he walked with God and God took him. 300 years he walked with God. Well, he's got 1 year to go to beat Fred. So, walking with God for 300 years. Can you imagine it? 300 years. You just can't conceive it, can you? But here's a man who found his answer in God. And he is called a prophet because it tells us in Jude that he prophesied. He's not one of the minor or major prophets, but he prophesied. So he prophesied that God would do something. And because of that, he named his child. He named his child with saying, God's going to move in a day to come. Another guy alongside probably of the similar generation was Job. Because Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible, although you find it later on. Earliest ones in history, sorry, but it's later, it's put in a later place in the Bible. And Job said, I know that one day I'm going to see him when he stands with his feet on the earth. Amazing. Confidence and hope. That's wonderful. So amazing, these characters. So you see, prayer and asking is part of the whole Bible narrative. And as we look at the narrative of smaller prayers, like Abraham, I know of two. Sorry, talking about Moses now. Moses, there were two prayers that God didn't answer for Moses. He asked if he could see his glory. God says no. You can see what I'm like from behind, but you can't see my glory. And he pleaded with God. He pleaded with God that he could go into the promised land. And God says, no. He says, I'll let you see it. I'll let you see it, but you can't go in. And even with that disappointment, we find Moses at the end of his life asking people to hold his hands up in prayer and see the others go in, and he couldn't. Ugh. Sometimes when we ask God, we see other people getting stuff that we want, or we see them moving on further than we'd like. And we'd like to move that way too. And sometimes disappointment comes. And sometimes we have context in when we ask God for things and they don't happen. So we're coming to asking today. And if you've got a Bible or a phone, I'm going to read through the story of Samuel. who was serving God in the temple. What I'm going to do this morning is to read through this story, make some comments as we go, and then if you can, I'd just like you to keep on tabs with the story in there where we're going. So, if you like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Just to explain the book of Samuel to you for a minute, or this story in it. In the book of Samuel, his life miraculously begins as his barren mother Hannah becomes pregnant. Against many family conflicts, she prays long and hard for a child. She vows to God that when she had that child, she would give him to the service of God in the temple. After Samuel was weaned, she kept her promise to God and placed him under the care of the priest Eli in the tabernacle. As life for Samuel begins in this strange new environment, he is woken by a voice calling his name, which he thinks is Eli the priest. Eli confirms it was not himself, and after another similar occurrence, Eli instructs him in what would become the simplest, short, but most blessed advice a person or child could ever pray. It's an ask, it's a prayer, it's short, it's the simplest prayer a person could say. But having said that, it's the most fundamental, important question that any one of us could ask, and it's already been mentioned so much time this morning. Eli told him what to say. He advised this child, the best thing you can do is say this when you hear that voice again. We are praying this month, and at the core of our praying is we are wanting God to speak to us. Yeah? We want to hear what God's saying. We want to hear his voice. And like Trevor has just said, we just want to hear more specifically where he's leading us in any given situation. But the whole purpose of us praying is to set ourselves aside as a church and as individuals to hear what God is saying to us. So there's a similarity in this story. Going on with this, pray see, Eli said to Samuel, if you hear the voice again, you ask, speak, Lord, because I'm listening. It's the, as far as I'm aware, the only child prayer in the Old Testament. He was brought into the tabernacle at the age of, could it be anything, as old as 5. And from 5, he did stuff in the temple. And it seems like when he was about 12, he has this encounter with God. It's an ask, but it's the most important ask that a person could ever ask in life, in the context of eternity before God. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. That's very, lots of times I've said, speak, Lord, and I never listen. We say, speak, Lord, and we're doing something else. We say, speak, Lord, and you say, it's a bit too difficult. I don't want to do that. You say, speak, Lord, and you find someone else is doing it. You say, I miss that. I should have done that. Speak, Lord. So, verse 1, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. God is withholding his voice and his communication with those who are not interested in what God's up to. As we're praying, let's be interested in what God's up to. The word of God was rare in those days, no frequent vision. I think Bob said earlier about how there was a silence Friday night when we talked about the prophetic, a bit like this. Wanting something to be said, we're wanting it to happen, but for some reason it's not happening. And we're praying for God to speak. But it sets the scene and a cultural shift away from God. But thankfully, as verse 11 says, that God was going to do a new thing, and we've sung that this morning. He was going to do a new thing, and we'll come to that later. People were losing interest in the ways of God and the life in God. They were also becoming increasingly interested in other stuff. During this prayer month, we are hopefully positioning ourselves to hear from God and sharpening up on the expectations in the now and the projected future of our Beacon community. How hallelujah can we get? Lord, speak, because we're listening. Verse 2, at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. Eli was old, and he should have been kept that lamp alight all night. But he was failing. There was a demise. We have to keep the lamp of witness burning. You see, Eli had become disinterested because of his family and because of the situations around him. He was losing interest. And yet God was at work here, bringing Samuel on the scene, through whom he could do a new thing. God provides. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, and where the ark of God was. That was a very privileged place to be. It was right near the ark of God. What was that ark all about? It was also called the Ark of Testimony. It symbolized the presence of God. It was history in the making of a loving, caring, protecting, leading, guiding, helping, correcting, sacrificing Creator God. You just think of where this thing had been and what it represented. It was supposed to represent God, very God himself. And Samuel was sleeping by it. He grew up in a privileged environment, just like those children out there and others here in this Beacon community are growing up in a privileged environment. The Ark of God was the testimony, the Ark of Testimony too. It symbolized the presence of God. A church without the presence of God through the Holy Spirit is lifeless and contemptuous. Inside the ark were the two tablets of stone on which the law was written. There was a pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded. Now, what was the significance here? Each of these three artifacts were critical to their continuance as the people of God. As Beacon Church, we're praying in to the continuance of His holy Catholic Church, with its power, with the mighty presence of the Holy Spirit, not for it to stop, but for it to go on. We're praying for it to go on in the power of the Spirit. So each of these three artifacts were supernatural. Who wrote the letters on the stone? Who caused the rod to bud? Those of you do pruning, you cut the tree off. But this was a dead rod that budded. In its death, there was life. So these artifacts, the ark, and Samuel was right here. And the history of that thing in itself was the power of God. Let us remember, the church has history. Not only as the church, but in the prophetic words that are given through Old Testament scriptures. It's right there at the heart of God. And if you can remember what Bob said as he opened up this morning, I can't remember all the words. I think he's forgotten that. What did you say, Bob?
I said, do you believe that the church is God's plan for humanity?
Amen. So we're believing that church is God's plan for humanity. That's why we're so excited about it, isn't it? So Samuel was brought up in a privileged place where God owns the gathering of people with his very presence. And I was just thinking of Samuel there. And I think of the children being brought up with the influence and with a church is such a privilege for those children. They are in a privileged and powerful place. Let's not forget that. And all of us older ones need to throw our weight behind everything that's done for them in the way that they are served within our church context. Maybe this week we can pray for them, asking God. Verse 4, then the Lord called to Samuel and he said, here I am, and ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you. Go and lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He said, I didn't call you, my son, go and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of God had not yet been revealed to them. Now our children would be amongst us and they serve us so well in their excitement and everything, yet they might not know the Lord. And Samuel was brought to the point where he could know the Lord. And each one of us has the privilege of knowing the Lord. Knowing God who created us, God who gives us daily help and strength through Jesus who came and gave his life for us that we might know him. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed, and God was going to use him to reveal his word. So a little bit later on, we find that God called him. Part of the ongoing vision for the younger half of Beacon is to throw our weight behind all that's in place for the time when each of them come to know the Lord. The ministry is vital, that families with children get all the help and support they need to grow their children to Jesus. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time in verse 8. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. When any one of us come to know the Lord, the natural progression is to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we're discipled into the ways of Jesus. This is a must for our children too, to show them and demonstrate who the Holy Spirit is. In the New Testament, Jesus leveled his analogy of good fathers giving good gifts to their children to Father God, giving the good gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He told a story and he said, well, you fathers will only give good gifts to your children. And so God the Father will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask. Oh, yes, to those who ask. Yes, they have the Holy Spirit, but possession is not progression. Get to live out their lives with a manifestation of the Spirit in character and gifts, both natural and spiritual. So we not only want our children to come to know the Lord through the Holy Spirit's initial work in them, but we also want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that it might be discipled and go on in the things of God. And maybe even God will call any one of these children to the Lord himself. Abby who's away from us at the moment, Abby heard about Jesus, demonstrated an interest in him, and came to know him. God called her to minister before the Lord as an intentional disciple. Let's speak of the promise of God over her. Dear Olivia has been demonstrating her interest in Jesus and is getting stuck into church life and using her gift for the benefit of children and the wider church. God is at work through the younger generation, let me put it that way. Verse 9, therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. I said earlier, this is the short, simplest ask for everyone. The biggest game changer for the believer, for anyone seeking God. Even Jesus himself said in the New Testament, whoever hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life. The hearing is important, listening to God. Samuel took Eli's advice and prayed the prayer. It was a daybreak moment, and the prophetic gift was handed to him. It begins by saying, speak, Lord, because I'm listening to you. The prophetic gift was imparted to him. I believe that it's time for us to move into this powerful, opportune time to position ourselves for the prompting and voice of the Holy Spirit, to also de-rarify the Word of God. I don't know if there is such a word, but there you go. It says the Word of God was rare, but it's to expose the truth of the Word of God. And that's largely what the prophetic is doing. To also ask the Lord for visions to young men, as he promised through the prophet Joel. So I'm thinking this, we ask, yeah? That we pray for the power of God's word to be exposed amongst us, for the prophetic gift to be given, so that we as Beacon Church might have the prophetic edge working amongst us. For visions to be given to young men, as he promised through the prophet Joel. Then the Lord said to Samuel in verse 11, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone, I love that, which the two ears will be hearing what God has to say. In context, this new thing which God was going to do, which would make the two ears of everybody tingle, contextually, it was the severity of God's correction for the way Eli had failed to listen to God on and over his family and his household. It was, though, in the process towards blessing the wider family. So God acts in severity. This new thing which is going to make the ears of everybody tingle. But there's expectation here that God is going to work and he's going to take people on through the difficulties and the hardness and the horribleness and the brokenness of life towards the point where he can pour out his blessing on everybody. Here is expectation that God will turn things around, not staying as they are, but moving on. So again, this week, let's pray for Beacon to be driving forward, on the march, taking ground, overcoming, and breaking through. Let's pray for the wall to come down. There is a way through. Another thing, just as we pass, just know, if and when God is processing any one of us through a correction stage in our Christian lives. No one likes it, but he loves us as he prunes away, seeing the greater beauty and the potential beyond that. God to break through. How amazing. Verse 12. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. I'm going to go down now to verse 19. You can read the other bits in between later. In verse 19 it says, And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Oh, for words like that. Oh, for powerful, true words like that, that are received and worked out in our lives. The church needs men and women with a prophetic edge. Do we know, welcome, and listen to those who have the gift amongst us? Can I also suggest that we pray for that this week? For the prophetic edge, for the word of prophecy and truth, and for the Holy Spirit to expand the prophetic in keeping with our goal. The last verse says, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. That's the one when you begin that chapter, the word was rare. By the end of the chapter, with his man in between, it says the word of the Lord was there and powerful as it moved amongst them. Just to close, this word ask, I think, largely comes from the New Testament, where Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. As Steve has been said before, this present continuous tense is working here too. It's ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. So what's that say? It's about the thing that was given to Samuel. And that was not information, but revelation. Ask, seek, knock. That's about revelation. And if we really want to hear from God, we'll be asking, not only asking, but asking, seeking, and knocking. In Ephesians, Paul said, I keep on asking that you have and know the knowledge of his will, and that you will know him better. That's God's plan for us. The knowledge of his will and his plan for us. That was Paul's prayer. I keep on asking. So we've got a week of prayer, of asking. Let's think what we're going to ask God for and move in that. In a moment, sometime, the children are going to come in and pray for us. And I think Mel will explain how that's going done. But it's an opportunity to, as that child stands, if you want prayer, you don't have to, but as you go up to a child for prayer, you pray for that child. In your mind, in your heart. But God will give you a snapshot of that child in front of you, so you can take that on with you and pray for that child. Pray for that child. Keep them in your mind throughout the week, because who knows what God can do with a child. At some stage, if we get the opportunity to pray, my just application for this is to, we're like Paul, we pray that prayer, keep on asking. that we might know his will and get to know him better, but also to ask for the Holy Spirit. And it's just a reminder here. Many people have never stood up and asked for the Holy Spirit publicly. And sometimes that helps. It's not about possession. We have the Holy Spirit when we're born again. But it is about progression, about moving on in the power of the Spirit. Father, we just thank you. We thank you so much for each of our children. We were children once, Lord, and you've taught us how to ask, how to pray, and we thank you for that. But help us, Lord, to say that prayer this week. Help us to be open and say, Lord, speak, Lord. I'm now listening, and I want to hear what you have to say to me. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you, David. I hope you all have two ears.